You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
My name is Christopher J. Petherick. I'm the editor-in-chief of American Free Press newspaper. Today on this podcast, I have my good friend Sally Fallon Morrell. She's the founder and president of the Weston A. Price Foundation, and she's also the owner of the P.A. Bowen Farmstead, which is about 2 miles or so down the road from my house.
You can, small world.
Yeah, small world. Yes, fantastic. You can find them on the web at westonaprice.org and P.A. Bowen Farmstead, right? That's PABowenFarmstead.com?
Right.
Good.
Yes.
Okay. Sally's a very busy woman. Anybody who's been, at all had their head out from under a rock and has looked around at the news and looked around at people. And Sally's been out there, and she's been working hard to educate people about healthy food. She's written and co-wrote over, from what I could see, it was over a dozen books. Isn't that?
Well, I guess when you add them all up, yes, with other authors, sure.
Yeah. So the,
you know, the interesting thing is, Chris, this is the first book I've written without a co-author.
Oh,
so
wow.
This is
okay.
My own.
Good. Well, we'll get to that in a second then. Yeah, I counted, I think it was over 14, it was like 14 or 15 books where your name was placed on the cover of the book along with a number of the people. So that's fantastic. It's a ton of work, and it's great, and it's you know, you not only do you talk the talk, though, you also walk the walk with the farm that you have, which is also a ton of work. And it is, it's a beautiful area down there where they are located. If anybody gets a chance, you can actually go on. You guys are open Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays. Is that right?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We do tours on Saturday, which are very interesting. And then we're also about to start deliveries, Chris. So,
oh, wow.
You know, they can just visit our website and sign up for the emails, and then they'll know about the deliveries.
Do you still do the farmers markets around in the area too?
Yeah, we do the Annapolis Farmers Market. Yes.
Okay, yeah, so there you go. And they provide, it's all pastured. I mean, you can go there, and that's the amazing thing about it is that you go to the grocery store and you buy pork, you have no idea where it's coming from. I mean, it could come from some horrible farm up in Missouri or out of the country. I mean, they're even talking about importing chickens from China, on top of that.
Well, we've actually exported the pork business. All that's been done in China now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary
stuff.
Yeah,
and that's the problem with cheap food. I mean, a lot of other countries can do it cheaper than we can. So that's where the food production is going. But yes, all of our meats are completely pasture fed. And as you know, we do a raw artisan cheese. And we now sell raw pet milk, and we do pastured pork, chickens, and eggs, and beef.
Yeah, but you can go visit the farm. You can stand there right on the edge of the fence and wave to the chickens and the geese and the ducks and the cows out there on pasture and see they're happy and they're well cared for, and that's really what we should be striving for in our food in this country. So, but we're not going to talk about that. Today we're actually going to talk about Sally's latest book, which is, I guess we could talk about all kinds of stuff here, but we're going to talk about your latest book, which I have here sitting on my desk, which is called Nourishing Fats: Why We Need Animal Fats for Health and Happiness. I read the book. Actually, it's kind of a funny story because the book arrived to the newspaper, and it had my name on it. But one of the ladies was opening it, who, you know, everybody who works at AFB is interested in these topics. So she actually grabbed the book and disappeared with it for about a week and read the entire book cover to cover, and then came back kind of sheepishly and apologized to me and said that, well, you know, this was for you, but I was so fascinated with this that I wanted to go through and read it because there's so much misinformation about what's going on and about diets. And I have a note here that I wanted to say, you know, that the problem is that I've seen it is that, you know, we've gotten so much bad advice over the years on how to eat healthy. And it's not just inconsistent, it's almost schizophrenic, because it's like one minute they're saying, oh, don't eat any fats, they're all bad for you, it's all low fat. The next day they're telling you, okay, eat some fats from maybe some fish and some avocados. The next day they're telling you, hey, no, eggs are great, meat are great, you know, this. So the average person who's looking at this is just completely dumbfounded, and they look around and obesity rates through the roof, everybody's having health related problems and such.
Diabetes. Yeah.
So let's talk about the book here. It really I read it. It's an impressive book. In my opinion, it's devastating to modern mainstream dietary advice going through it. So can you just explain, you know, just for listeners here, because I know we don't have tons of time, but explain just to listeners why animal fats are not just not bad for you, they're actually very good for the human body.
They're actually essential for us. Well, you know, you talk about all these different messages that we're getting, and it is very conflicting and confusing. But one thing the mainstream media and the establishment has never budged on is the question of saturated fats. They've always said saturated fats are the enemy, saturated fats are bad, they'll clog your arteries, all this. And this is where we have gone wrong, because saturated fats are critical for our health, and of course, we get saturated fats mostly from animal fats, and what's in the animal fats are nutrients that we can't get anywhere else, vitamins A, D, and K, that are absolutely critical for our health. So I always say to people, you know, people come to me and say, I've decided I'm going to get healthy. I need to pay attention to my diet. And I always say, well, you need to stop listening to the people telling you how to eat healthy, because they're wrong. And to be healthy, we need to go back to the kind of diet that our ancestors ate. And they used butter. They ate eggs. They drank full-fat milk. They ate fat meat with the fat on it. They cooked in lard. And, you know, this raises eyebrows. Cook in lard? Are you kidding? Lard is an extremely healthy fat. So we need to get back to these kinds of fats, not only for our own health today, but for having healthy children. Because the nutrients that these fats carry are critical for fertility, for the growth and development of the fetus, for ease of childbirth, for normal growth in children. And I don't think I'm surprising anyone when I say we have an absolute crisis on our hands with the health of our children today.
How do animal fats compare to, you know, vegetable oils are always pushed on Americans. That's it. You know,
exactly.
And in fact, canola oil, even, you know, from rapeseed is still encouraged as one of the best, you know, oils out there that you can cook with. You can cook
I know.
Salad.
And they're even now, what I've noticed is they're even starting to talk about corn oil and soybean oil again. Mm-hmm. These are industrial fats and oils. They go through horrendous processing that involves at least five heatings, one of which is up to 300 degrees centigrade. I mean, this is extremely hot. And the liquid oils that come out of seeds are fragile to begin with. Any liquid oil is a fragile oil that can easily break down into what's called free radicals. And in spite of what you've heard, it's not saturated fat that's bad for you. It's not cholesterol. It's the free radicals from these vegetable oils, and also the trans fats from the hardened vegetable oils. So it's the liquid and the hardened vegetable oils, the industrial fats and oils. This is the enemy. As these oils have become more prominent in the food supply, our health has declined, and they have replaced the healthy fats and oils, especially the animal fats. And just, you know, they look clean, they smell clean, they put a little yellow dye in them so they remind you of butter, but they have been through horrendous processing, again, that involves at least five heatings. And then on top of that, you're encouraged to cook with these oils. This is what's used in the fast food fryers. They are totally carcinogenic. They interfere with proper growth in children. They interfere, they make the children stupid. They interfere with neurological development. And that is just number one thing we have to do to clean up our diets, is just get these industrial fats and oils out of our diets. And that basically means all processed food, because they're in all processed food. But the good side of this is that it doesn't mean you have to deprive yourself. You know, the kind of diet that we're recommending is absolutely delicious and satisfying. It includes butter. It includes wonderful foods like cheese. It includes meat. It includes organ meat, so that means you can have delicious pâtés like the French eat. So it's not a diet of deprivation that we are recommending. It's actually a diet of satiation and deliciousness, so to speak.
For people who are kind of just sort of getting their toe back into this and sort of trying to straighten their head out and from all the bad advice and the misinformation that's out there, you actually, half the book is actually recipes, or not quite half a book, but maybe the ending, maybe the last quarter of the book is all helpful recipes that I went through and looked at.
Yes, and there's some wonderful recipes there. There's a delicious cheese spread there.
Yes.
And there's bacon, and there's scrambled eggs, and, you know, there's ribs and, you know, all kinds of good foods. I mean, these foods made with real good ingredients are healthy foods. I often say people are told these foods are bad for them, and they're supposed to be on this kind of puritanical diet, low fat, high fiber, low salt, etc. And they can't stay on that diet. So in the end, they end up splurging and, you know, pigging out on the what I call the pornographic foods, which are all the, you know, processed foods.
Right, potato chips and crackers.
Yeah, and neither one is right. The right diet is neither one of these. It's neither a diet of renunciation or a diet of indulgence. It's a diet of just real good, healthy food of our ancestors.
What's the difference between, say, what you recommend in your book here about healthy eating and, say, something like the paleo diet, which is common to, and you also get into the DASH diet in here as well, too, which I know is very popular. In fact, I have a book on the DASH diet because I saw that bandied about and I wanted to educate myself somewhat about it.
Okay. Well, the paleo diet pretends to be a diet about traditional foods, but it's not the way our ancestors ate. The paleo diet is all about lots of lean meat. And one of the things I explain in this book is why lean meat is actually very dangerous. It depletes you of very important nutrients. And the traditional cultures all understood that if you were going to eat meat, you had to eat it with the fat. Otherwise, it would make you quite sick. The DASH diet is a low-salt, high-fiber diet. It's very similar to the dietary guidelines. It's supposed to lower your blood pressure. And it might lower your blood pressure a few points, but it's not a diet that you can stay on. And in fact, I just read a whole article about the DASH diet, and they said the biggest problem is noncompliance because people just don't like to eat this way.
You actually get into, and this is what I really enjoyed about the book, is that for all the critics and the doubters out there, is that Sally's book, you have, I didn't count actually, but I went through it as I was reading it. You probably have, let's see.
It's about 1,000 references.
Pages worth of references in this book, you go through. So there's a lot of science, and you can get into some chemistry in here as well too, which is still easily, it's accessible for the layman to read. It's not, you know, it's not all formulas.
Well, Chris, I really have tried to make this book understandable to, anybody. It's not for scientists. It's for the layman. And I tried to put all the science and diagrams just into one chapter, which you can skip if you don't want, you're overwhelmed by that.
I didn't mean to scare anybody off on that. I mean, when I read through it, it was very easy to read. And also it flowed with, and it made sense reading through it. And you really need that though, because you can't just writing a book like this, which is running counter to, again, you know, you're going to get a bunch of these doctors and these guys in these white lab coats who are going to come back and say, wag their finger at you.
Yeah,
and say,
right.
This is very wrong. But you point, there's a great study in here you cite on the DASH diet, for instance, which says the DASH diet actually did nothing ultimately for the overwhelming majority of people.
Right, right. And also, I think that when you talk about saturated fats, well, I explain what a saturated fat is, but how they work in the body. I mean, this is basic biochemistry that all health practitioners learned when they took biochemistry in school. And you just absolutely need saturated fats for everything to work in your body. And if you don't eat saturated fats, your body has a backup plan and it makes them out of carbohydrates. So people on low-fat diets or diets low in saturated fat end up craving carbohydrates because they need those to make the saturated fats, which your body cannot function without them.
Now, is that a lower quality fat then that they're making in the animal fats
that are produced? Well, first of all, your body has to expend a lot of energy, a lot of enzymes and other nutrients to make them. Mm. It's called de novo lipogenesis, so making fats from scratch, basically. Yeah. But the second reason is that you are not getting all these critical nutrients that you would get from the animal fats. They're just not there in the carbohydrates.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. And also, you get into again with some of the science, but it's not overwhelming, where you get into the importance of, say, with some of the fat-soluble vitamins, like A, you mentioned A and D and such, and where you need that fat to be able to help you absorb those vitamins.
Yes, and that's where they are. And, you know, the latest vitamin on the hit parade is vitamin K. Mm-hmm. And vitamin K it turns out, is critical for putting calcium where it belongs. So if you're not getting enough vitamin K, the calcium does not go to your bones where it's supposed to go and doesn't go to your teeth. It goes to your arteries and your soft tissues, and that is not a good thing. So there actually was a very famous study, the Rotterdam study out of Holland a number of years ago, which showed that it is vitamin K, that is the key nutrient for directing calcium to the right place in your body. Well, the problem for those researchers, and they said this in the paper, is that the sources of vitamin K are things like cheese, animal fats, liver, egg yolks, butter, and so they said, you know, this is kind of a dilemma for them because these were foods high in cholesterol. But the thing is, the cholesterol, it's just a broken theory. And the foods that actually do protect our hearts and protect our arteries are these high-fat, high-cholesterol foods.
And that's exactly the opposite of everything today, that whether you look on, you know, look on the internet or go visit your regular doctor, they ask you about your diet and such, and they just try to hammer home that no, you know, lean meats, you know, low sodium, all of this stuff.
Yeah,
which
right,
I guess if, right. But let me ask you a question. If your diet mainly consists of processed food, is what happens then? Like, for example, if you're constantly consuming processed foods, and mm-hmm. then you sit down and you have, you know, like a fatty meat or chicken thighs or something mm-hmm. along those lines, is that it, the two of them are going to clash together, or how does your body handle that?
Well, the fats and the meat help in to a certain extent. They help you with the processed foods. In fact, my mentor and colleague, Mary Enig, explained to me, she said, you know, the trans fats are really bad, and everyone recognizes that now. She said, but if you are eating a lot of saturated fats, you're protected to a certain extent from the trans fats. And I think I actually say this in the book, you know, if you're eating plenty of saturated fats and you have a meal of French fries every now and then, it's probably not so harmful as for a person who's eating junk food all the time, full of the industrial fats and oils, and of course eating French fries.
Yeah.
So, but what I think the thing is, you know, people are so addicted to junk food, but, you know, if you start your day off with a scrambled egg and bacon and sourdough bread with butter, I guarantee you, you will not think of eating anything till lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You will be so satisfied. And this kind of eating helps you get off the junk food.
Yeah,
it keeps you from having the cravings.
The Swiss did a study on that, I remember, a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. where they, I think it was the Swiss, where they came out and they said, look, if you want to lose weight, eat whole fat yogurt. Don't eat
yes.
low fat yogurt.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, there have been a number of studies showing that first of all, with children, if you restrict fats in the child's diet and put them on skim milk and so forth, they will end up fatter and they'll end up eating more sugar.
Mm.
And for women, again, especially women in menopause, you know, women in menopause almost always gain weight, and that's actually normal. You're supposed to gain a little bit of weight at menopause. It helps you. It prevents frailty in women. But the women who eat cheese and full-fat milk and butter and so forth, they gain less weight at menopause.
That's because they're not craving that food all the time? Is that why?
Right. They're not craving the junk food, and they don't overeat.
Yeah.
And they just gain a little weight. I always say you're supposed to gain about 2 dress sizes when you go through menopause. And that helps you be stronger, helps you have stronger bones. It keeps you from being frail. It also keeps you from having wrinkles.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing. So it's. I think women need to embrace that and not try to be too thin. But at the same time, of course, you don't want to gain a lot of weight. You just want to gain a little bit of weight. And eating the whole dairy foods and full-fat foods will help you in that respect.
I have a particular question, and I don't know whether this is you, anyone can easily answer this, but you know, that we talked about before about how you are actually not only just writing about this, you're actually, if you go down to your farm, people can go visit that and they can actually see how, you know, you're doing this the right way. And not only with just, you know, the way that agriculture is run in the United States in general, but how you're feeding people. Is there a difference between, say, the fat that comes from, say, a pastured pig or chickens that are, you know, and I see it, you guys move those chickens every, because I have chickens in my my house, and they have a coop, and every night they go back to the coop and they wander around my property. But I only have, you know, well, I'm actually down to 6 chickens now, but I had a hawk that was picking them off. But but you guys, every day you're moving them to new areas for them to be able to graze and get new bugs and fresh. Is there a difference between the fat that is being produced in those chickens versus the ones that are on the opposite side of the extreme, the ones that are in these factory farms that are never see daylight and are fed this bland diet, you know, and
antibiotics and hormones. Yeah, there absolutely is. And it's a known fact that all of these impurities, all these toxins are stored in the fat of people and animals. And so, yes, you would be getting those when you eat the fats. And in the case of pigs, there's a really bad chemical they give pigs in the United States. It's called, I never can pronounce this right, it's ropoctamine or something like that. And it's banned in Europe as causing cancer. And they give it to the animals to keep them from gaining too much fat, to keep them lean, which I think is wrong in the first place. But that, you know, that's going to end up in what fat there is in those animals. Tetracycline is typically routinely put in the water of the cows and the pigs. Hormones and antibiotics, you know, they've tried to get away from giving antibiotics to these animals, but they're still doing it. And all that does end up in the fats. So, yes, you know, but I don't think we should just really pick on the fats, because our whole diet needs to be cleaned up right across the board, everything we eat. And that's a slow process for most people. But, you know, little by little, I think most people learn to just eat the really good foods, foods that have been grown properly.
Why do you think we're running out of time here. Why do you think today, you know, scientists, dietitians, why are they pushing? I mean, if you know, the answers are out there, why are they telling people to stay away from this and do this and do that and eat the wrong stuff?
Well, it's the power of this industry, and by industry I mean the industrial fats and oil industry and the processed food industry, which is dependent on these fats and oils as cheap fats. And they have a tremendous amount of power. They are the advertisers in the newspapers, on television, in the media. They support university research. And it's always interesting when you read a study, like a study that says you should eat more soybean oil, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you look at the ties that these people have and who they work for and who they're getting funding from. And it's almost always people like Unilever or Kraft or Institute for Shortening Inedible Oils. So this is a very, very powerful industry. You often hear fingers pointed at the dairy industry or the meat industry, but believe me, this edible oil industry is much, much more powerful.
So it just comes down to money, ultimately, is what we're talking about.
It comes down to money, yes.
Money and power.
It's consumer beware. You really, you know, today, to eat right, you have to be well informed, and you have to have, you know, all your antenna up for, you know, is this person telling me the truth? So it's not like the living in a village where everything they had was good for you and you didn't have to think about it.
Right.
Today we have to think about every morsel that goes in our mouth.
These are billion-dollar industries, and you're threatening with your with these books that you put out. You know, you are, and it's threatening.
If everyone would just switch to butter.
Yeah.
We would have a very different kind of economy. We'd have a much more equitable farm economy. We would have a better environment. I mean, the whole economy would be different if everyone just did that.
That's an entire another conversation about agriculture and modern farming here in the U.S. because these monocultures that they're growing, you know, and it really is terrible. It's not only are they polluting
it's the Marxist system. I think people don't realize, you know, very good people think they're loyal Americans and are loyal Americans. What they don't realize is industrial agriculture is Marx's dream. This is what he wanted. Yeah. Animals as units of production, the industrialization of agriculture. And that's what we have here.
Yeah. Well, Sally, thank you. I wanna thank you for taking some time out of your extremely busy day.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, Chris.
Wonderful. Good.
Thank
okay,
you so
great.
Much.
And so people who are interested, they can go to the Weston A. Price website for more information on this. That's westonaprice.org. Or they can visit your farm website, pabowenfarmstead.com, which is located right here. And you guys are in Brandywine still, too, right?
Yes, right. Yeah, southeast of Washington. Also, Chris, my blog is nourishingtraditions.com.
Great. Nourishingtraditions.com. And that's diet stuff. I know the Weston A. Price, you guys have a lot of, obviously, that's geared toward dietary, but there's a lot of science and scientific papers and stuff like that. And
love to have you visit.
Okay, good. Yeah. And the blog is more. Does that focus more on sort of the diet stuff and a little more informal, or what?
I talk about a lot of things in my blog. I can get very philosophical sometimes. I just did a 4-part series on feeding babies called Bringing Up Baby. I do lots of subjects. I'm actually about to start on a series of blogs about the blue zones. I'm going to call it True Blue Zones because there's a lot of misinformation in that book, The Blue Zones.
Okay, wonderful. Well, that's probably time for another conversation there. So good.
Right.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Chris.
And so for to find out more, you guys can visit American Free Press's website, AmericanFreePress.net, and we will have all of the links and everything to all of these organizations and farms and blogs and such that Sally is working on currently. So thank you very much, Sally. Have a great day.
Thank you, Chris. You too. Bye.
Bye.